This is PodTech.net. I'm Jason Lopez. The 2008 Game Developers Conference just concluded in this third week of February. It was bigger than ever. So on the final day of the conference, during a rainy San Francisco day here in the halls of Moscone West, things were sort of winding down, and I spoke with IDC analyst Billy Pidgeon, who covers the gaming industry. GDC might be for developers and technical people, but Pidgeon says that game players, just like film buffs who are tuned to the Oscars this week, they want to get deeper into it.
Certainly in the movie industry, as well as the games industry, the consumer wants to know a little bit more about the business. They want a little more of the inside baseball, and this would be the place to get it. So the more hardcore are more interested, I think, in what's going on, because they, from at the Game Developers Conference, they might hear about some new title that someone's planning or new methods of making games and get into the minutiae of how to program artificial intelligence, graphics, multiplayer games. So sometimes you do glean a little bit of information which can kind of give you a feel for where the industry's headed.
To put this still in the film analogy, mm-hmm. with games, in such a short time we've gone from, you know, the Lumiere brothers to Star Wars in time that is so difficult to measure because it's such a short amount of time.
To me, the most exciting thing about games is that we're moving beyond, say, that Star Wars mentality or hardcore horror mentality and into a mainstream audience. So the hardcore is really what's driven the industry so far, and they are interested in what's going on here. But the people who will come here to make games are interested in accessing a wider market. And now with things like the Wii and Guitar Hero, making the games industry more accessible and interesting to a larger group of people means a bigger total accessible market, and that's good news for everyone in the games industry.
Is it fair to say that in its inception, at least, games were about competition and about beating something, and that what we're starting to enter now is a phase in which games are about experience and simulations and things like that?
Well, I would argue that it's always been, those areas are always true. I mean, but, you know, play, games at their base are fundamentally, it's confrontation, it's conflict resolution. So the easiest thing to do in conflict resolution is, you know, I shoot you, you shoot me. It's driven a lot of graphics, a lot of innovation in the games business, in multiplayer gaming. And that'll continue to progress. But I think once you reach a certain point in graphics and a certain point in violence, and you kind of max out, so you look at how you add to the overall experience. And I think that's why we're hearing more about experience in worlds, as well as the fact that those sort of aspects of gaming appeal to a wider audience, because you're trying to create an even more immersive environment. So you see that in the shooters as well, like starting out in Doom, very corridor-driven. That's because the graphics are only so advanced, and now that the graphics are much richer and much more, you start seeing things like Crysis outdoors and sunlight and degrees of what time of day it is, and it's in an open world. So it's building worlds, I think, and conflict are important to games.
There's a lot been made of this idea that movies and games are going to merge at some point. And it does seem like a no-brainer that we're headed toward that point. But is there anything that you think that we need to keep in mind about that? Is it going to be a little more complex than just merely those two merging?
It always has been, and I'd argue against sort of like, equating them too closely, because technically they're a lot different, and the disciplines required to make movies and games are quite different. And games made out of movies tend to kind of suck, and games that try to recreate a movie experience, the same thing can happen. There are exceptions, and often you can maybe take a piece of movie IP and make a great game out of it, like Chronicles of Riddick is a great example of that. And I think that people from one industry can, with the correct, sort of mindset change, transfer into the other realm. But I mean, they're both storytelling mediums, but the focus of the story is much different in games because it's the player. It requires restructuring the story in quite a big way. And then movies are linear and games are non-linear, so that's a huge difference as well. We are starting to see more writers come into gaming, and that's improving the games, and we're seeing more story in games, and that's a good thing too. But I do think it's a separate medium, and it's very experiential, and often deeper, and it rewards replay much more than movies. In a lot of ways, I think games are a better entertainment value than movies, and it's certainly a newer medium, and to me, a lot more exciting. I mean, not to say I don't love to see the latest new movie, but I'm a lot more excited about what I see in games.
We also see that curve of revenue coming in the door. A lot of it obviously has to do with the dynamics of the game business. It's not necessarily that every man, woman, child in the U.S. is playing games or adopting games, but there must be some dynamic that allows gaming to develop more revenue streams and to push those higher, because they've already, the gaming industry has already surpassed the music industry and first-run movies and Hollywood for revenue.
In some, if you measure it in some ways, I mean, but then you measure the console revenue versus box office. And that's not really a complete picture of either industry, because one key, I mean, the economics and business models are quite different. For one thing, advantage to film as opposed to games is when you release a film, if it doesn't do well at the box office, you have other channels that you can distribute it in, foreign, TV, cable, and multiple places.
But a game is done.
A game is done, yeah. If it bombs in one market, it bombs in them all. Basically, the only thing you can take away from it, perhaps, is the technology if it's worthwhile. Games also are, we're widening, I think, the definition of games, and that's good. And because of the technological base of mobile and PC and connected consoles, we're seeing some new business models and ways to make money that you don't see in films, unless you consider, video as commercials and TV, et cetera. But still, there are free-to-play games where you play the game and don't pay for the game and buy items. There are subscriptions. The ways that games are changing to reach a broader audience, to me, is amazing.
And so when do you think this industry matures and it sort of hits its plateau and then gets its, sort of incremental revenue the way the music industry and the film industry have done?
Well, I think what happens is that certain sectors of it do mature, and that happens. And I think that's happened to some degree in the traditional console business, especially the hardcore sector. I mean, there's only a couple of problems, actually. I think that the broadening of the market by, things again like the Wii and Guitar Hero, which to me were mainstream phenomenon that kind of had a crossover. It's not casual games, but it's a genre or a tech that will engage both the hardcore user as well as the new gamer. So, I mean, you have people who never played games before enjoying the Wii or the Guitar Hero, and I think that's really important. But it's not the same thing as people playing Bejeweled. That's not to say that hardcore gamers don't play Bejeweled. They do. But the traditional hardcore sort of console business had topped out, and it's fairly predictable, except for this widening of the market with the Wii, which is, kind of exciting because you're growing the market. But other areas are new, and therefore these are the growth opportunities. For instance, on the console business, it's downloadables for the connected console. How many people are paying for subscriptions like Xbox Live? Nobody's yet had paying in a big way for subscriptions for games like massively multiplayer games on the console, but that will come soon. And there's downloadable games that people pay $5, $10, $15 for, and that's big opportunity and actually real revenue this cycle, and it's going to be more important going forward. And advertising, so it's filling in new sectors. So, and that's the amazing thing. Another amazing thing is we still keep finding new models, new ways to make money, new ways to market games to a wider and wider audience. So as one sector tops out, another one opens up.
Well, last question for you, and this about GDC. Just a couple of years ago, this was down at McInerney in San Jose, smaller venue. Mm-hmm. Here we are at Moscone, larger venue. Mm-hmm. Seems to be almost not enough space here. Mm-hmm. This is growing. Even GDC appears to be on its way to Vegas. I would expect that maybe next year it might be there. But what do you think about the growth of this conference?
Well, it speaks to the success of the medium, because they need new blood. I mean, if you look in this hall, there's a huge area just for recruiting, the employment center.
And incidentally, that's where Macworld puts their exhibit hall. So that's just for recruiting alone.
Just for recruiting, because they need people to make all these games. And everybody wants to do it, but yet there aren't enough people to fill the positions, to fill the right positions. I think it's a great thing for the country, it's a great thing for the world, because perhaps through games we're getting people more interested in computer science and mathematics.
Well, that's an interesting thing you bring out, too. I don't think that I've been to a conference so consistently international as GDC.
It's an international medium, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, and certain countries have always participated in it, Japan, in Europe, because of certain types of educational computers that were available in the early 80s. They developed a particular affinity with Nintendo and Sega machines early on, so we started, people like Peter Molyneux and people such as that started growing out of that, playing in school, learning about computers in school, and then to build their own games. But yeah, it's. I've seen this conference grow from very small down in San Jose, and back in those days, consoles were, that was everybody laughed at consoles because PC was difficult, and it's kind of like real men program for PCs because it's more, we can do more there, except not those little graphics. And now I've seen consoles subsume PC to some extent, but now I do see a resurgence in opportunity for PC, and a lot of people look into the PC and mobile as new growth platforms.
Well, Billy, thank you so much for being on this podcast here at Moscone West at GDC 2008.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Billy Pidgeon is an analyst with IDC. He's based in New York. I spoke with him at the 2008 Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, California. I'm Jason Lopez for PodTech.net.